place, someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful. Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 1st of April 2019. I hope you are all keeping really well and you've all had a great weekend. And being April the 1st, I promise you that this is an April Fool's free zone and we won't be having any April Fool's shenanigans on the show this morning. But we do have a great show ahead of you. We're going to be talking about fat in a moment and busting some myths about fat and whether or not it's actually good for us. We're also going to be talking about plant protein towards the end of the show and how we can get more protein from plants and vegetables. And in the middle, we have our special guest interview this morning. We have Dave Harris, and Dave is a professional golfer, and he's from Red Libbit's Golf Course. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Neil.
It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Thanks very much.
And we'll be finding out more about what Dave does in about 20 minutes or so. A quick disclaimer before we kick the show off. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered, and to help educate and inform you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health, or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional first, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. All the content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. A quick reminder of the show's social media feed. On Twitter, you can follow the show's Twitter feed at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, you can like the show's Facebook page if you search the Health Matters Radio Show. You can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, and you can also find the show's podcast on iTunes by searching the Health Matters Radio Show. And if you'd like to contact me away from social media, you can do that through my website. Just go to the contact page. Okay, so on to fat. Now, fat has been given a pretty bad rap over the last 40 years. And it's not a story I want to go into now, but if you look back into the 70s, you'll understand the reasons why fat was cut out a lot from a lot of the foods that we were eating in the 70s and through the 80s and 90s. And it was often replaced with sugar because at the time they believed that it was fat that was going to make people fat and cause health issues, and sugar was given a free ride. Now, obviously, in 2019, we now know that's not true, but people are still confused about fat and whether they should eat fat. As a nutritionist and with people that I talk to, I see people avoiding fat at all costs because they think it's going to make them fat. And actually, fat does serve a very essential function in the body. So the truth is there are good fats, there are bad fats, and there are fats that kind of fall somewhere in between that you don't really want to consume too much of, but aren't that dangerous to the body in small amounts. So when we look at good fats, these are polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats. These are essential fats. So what they do is they help to lower LDL, so bad cholesterol, and they help to also lower triglycerides, and they improve the cholesterol profile in your body. But as I mentioned, when we switched to all these low-fat foods, we did so because we were told that it was going to make us healthier. And 40-odd years down the line, actually, we're in a lot of trouble, not just as a nation, but also in the Western world, we have some serious health problems because of the things that we were taught 40 years ago. So fat is a major source of energy. Fat is very calorific. Okay, in 1 gram of fat, there are 9 calories of energy. In 1 gram of protein or carbohydrate, there are 4 calories of energy. So fat is more than twice the calorie value of carbohydrates and protein. But fat actually helps you to absorb some vitamins and minerals. Fat's essential in building cell membranes. And also there's a thing called the myelin sheath. And the myelin sheath is like an insulating layer around nerves. If you can imagine an electrical wire has its little vinyl sheath around it, well, that's what we have in our body to protect our nerves. And that sheath, that covering, is made out of fat. And fat is also essential for blood clotting, for muscle movement, and also to fight inflammation. And as I mentioned, we have these good fats and we have these bad fats, and they're very similar in chemical structure. So a fat molecule is a chain of carbon atoms that are bonded to hydrogen atoms. And what makes the fats different is the length and the shape of the carbon chain. Now, I won't do a chemistry session now, but the differences between fats are very, very subtle. So before we go more into the good fats, let's talk about the bad fats. So the worst type of dietary fat you can have is known as a trans fat or a hydrogenated fat. And this is actually a byproduct of a process called hydrogenation. And what they do is they turn healthy oils into solids. And by doing so, it prevents them from becoming rancid and also gives them a longer shelf life. So what they do is they take a vegetable oil and they heat it in the presence of hydrogen and often palladium, which is a heavy metal. And by doing so, they bombard it with hydrogen, and the hydrogen atoms are added to the carbon chain. And that turns an oil into a solid, and it turns a healthy oil into a saturated hydrogenated fat. And often on food labels, you'll see it in the ingredients list. There'll be partially hydrogenated oil or hydrogenated oil or hydrogenated fats. And these are really, really bad for the body. Trust me on this one. Okay, so if you see it on food labels, put it down and walk away. Now, when hydrogenated fats were first discovered, they were mainly used in margarines and vegetable shortening. But as food manufacturers learned to use this unhealthy fat in other ways, it's actually been put into lots of other processed foods. So particularly if you're buying foods that are in a can or in a packet, you will tend to find that they will sneak in hydrogenated fats and hydrogenated oils to give the food a longer shelf life. What do they do to the body? Well, one of the things it does do is it does increase the amount of LDL cholesterol. So that's bad cholesterol in the body, and also reduces the amount of HDL cholesterol, which is good cholesterol. So it's a bit of a double whammy. It increases the bad and it reduces the good. And trans fats also cause inflammation as well. So they can cause things like heart disease, they can cause strokes, they can contribute to type 2 diabetes. And they cause insulin resistance, which is obviously a big precursor to the development of type 2 diabetes. And even small amounts of these trans fats, these hydrogenated fats, can harm your health. It's been estimated that for every 2% of calories you consume from trans fats daily, it increases the risk of heart disease by a whopping 23%. So trans fats have no known health benefits, and there is no safe level of consumption. So really, trans fats are really the bad guys on the block, and you should avoid them at all costs. So in between fats, so saturated fat is an in-between fat. So saturated fats tend to be solid at room temperature. So if you think when you cook bacon under a grill, the fat turns to liquid and it collects at the bottom of the pan. But as the pan cools, it goes back to a solid again. That's a typical example of a saturated fat. And common sources of saturated fats include things like red meat, whole milk, also whole milk dairy products, so like cheese as well. There's also saturated fat in coconut oil, although coconut oil does have other health benefits in small amounts. And also in baked goods, they will tend to put either hydrogenated fats or they will put saturated fat. And saturated, very simply, refers to the number of hydrogen atoms surrounding each carbon atom. So these carbon atoms are holding as many hydrogen atoms as they possibly can, hence they are saturated. And that's where we get the term saturated fat. So is saturated fat bad for you? Well, in very small amounts, not necessarily. But if you eat a lot of saturated fats, it can drive up total cholesterol and also particularly LDL cholesterol. And that can cause things like atherosclerosis. It can cause blockages in the arteries. It can cause cardiovascular disease. And whilst there are no known safe levels of consumption, most nutrition experts will tell you that you shouldn't eat more than 10% of your total calorie intake as saturated fats in a day. So I mentioned good fats at the start of the show, and good fats come in the form of unsaturated and polyunsaturated fats. So these are found mainly in vegetables. They're also found in nuts and seeds and predominantly in fish as well. And they differ from saturated fats in as much as they have fewer hydrogen atoms bonded to their carbon chains. So hence they are unsaturated because there are spare spaces for their hydrogen chains. And this makes them a healthy fat. And most healthy fats are actually liquid at room temperature. So an example of a monounsaturated fat would be olive oil, and also things like peanut oil. Avocados have monounsaturated fats in them. Most nuts have them in them. And also sunflower oils are good for you as well, albeit in moderation. And the discovery that monounsaturated fats could be actually healthy for us came from a study during the 1960s, where people in Greece and other parts of the Mediterranean were studied in depth because people couldn't understand how they had such a high fat diet and yet such a low rate of heart disease. And it was the fact that they weren't eating much saturated fat, but they were consuming lots of monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats that kept them heart healthy. So polyunsaturated fats, they can be things like cooking oil. So corn oil, sunflower oil, safflower oil are common examples of liquid cooking oil fats. And polyunsaturated fats are actually essential fats. And what that means is that we require them for normal body functions, but our body can't make them, so we have to get them from food. So polyunsaturated fats help us to build cell membranes, and as I mentioned earlier, they cover our nerves with this myelin sheath. Polyunsaturated fats are also essential for blood clotting, for muscle movement, and they do help fight inflammation as well. And the two main types of polyunsaturated fat, I'm sure you've heard of two of these, are omega-3s and omega-6s. Omega-3s are much healthier than omega-6s. And the difference between a 3 and a 6 is very, very simply the distance between the beginning of the carbon chain and the first double bond. And eating polyunsaturated fats in place of saturated fats or highly refined carbohydrates has been proven to reduce down LDL cholesterol and improve your cholesterol profile. So where can you get omega-3 from? Well, the main source is fish. So most fish have a level of omega-3, but some fish are better than others, and particularly fatty fish are high in omega-3s as well. So salmon is good, mackerel is good, sardines are good, but you can also get omega-3s from flaxseed, from walnuts, and also from chia seeds as well. So omega fatty 3 acids might help prevent and treat heart disease. It can help reduce the chance of getting a stroke. It can also help to reduce blood pressure as well. And there's some research out there that has shown because it helps to reduce inflammation, that it might also be able to help people with rheumatoid arthritis. So there you go. So those are the fats, the good fats, the bad fats, and the ones that are in between. Polyunsaturated is good, monounsaturated is good, saturated kind of falls somewhere in between, and you should really limit your consumption of saturated fats. And bad fats tend to be the man-made fats, so fats that are hydrogenated and the trans fats. And I encourage you to read your food labels before you buy foods, just to check out what you're eating and to make sure it's not going to do you harm long term. Okay, so on to our first song of the morning. Now, this guy, he passed away last week, actually, and he was part of a, 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 a duo in the 60s and 70s, and arguably one of the most influential singer-songwriters of his generation, and certainly has been said to influence a lot of performers over the last sort of 30, 40 years. So as a tribute to Scott Walker, I thought I'd play one of his classic songs from, I think it was about 68 or 69, and it's the Walker Brothers and No Regrets.
I know you're leaving, it's too long overdue. For far too long, I've had nothing new to show to you. Goodbye, dry eyes, I watched your plane fade off west of the moon. And it felt so strange, walk away alone. There's no regrets, no tears goodbye. I don't want you back. We'd only cry. The hours that were yours echo like empty rooms. The thoughts we used to share I now keep alone. I woke last night and spoke to you, not thinking you were gone. And it felt so strange, awake alone. There's no regrets, no tears goodbye. I don't want you back. We'd only cry. Try to turn my nights to day. Strange faces, a new place, can't keep the ghost away. Now just beyond the darkest hour, and just behind the dawn, it still feels so strange to leave my life alone. There's no regrets, no tears goodbye. I don't want you back. We'd only cry. No regrets. says goodbye. I don't want you back. We'd only cry again. Say goodbye.
That was the Walker Brothers and No Regrets, a tribute to the late, great Scott Walker, who sadly passed away last week. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show on Monday, the 1st of April 2019. My name's Neil De Silva. And if you'd like to get in touch with the show via social media, please do so on Twitter. Search at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, type in the Health Matters Radio Show and you can follow the show's Facebook page. And as mentioned, you can listen again to this show and all previous 56 shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Or if you have a podcast or an iPod or an iPhone, you can listen to it via iTunes. If you go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show, all previous shows are on the show's podcast too. So on to our special guest interview of the morning. Today we have Dave Harris, who is a golf professional. So something slightly different today, but still linked within the health and well-being umbrella, as we will find out as we go through the interview. And Dave's from Red Libbit's Golf Course, which is, Dave, I understand is in Ash, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
In Kent, which is not far from Longfield.
That's correct, around the corner from
Brands
Hatch.
I must admit, my kind of geography of that part of Kent's not fantastic, but I do know Brands Hatch.
Yep, that's it. We're literally around the corner from there.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it's great to have you on the show this morning. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for inviting me.
And I'm really interested to find out more about your background, because, as I mentioned, it's slightly different to guests I normally have on the show. So normally people that come on the show tend to be sort of therapists or personal trainers or those sorts of things, but I've never had a golf pro, so there's a first time for everything. So I'm fascinated to find out more about your journey as well. So Dave, let's start at the beginning. What's your background and how did you get into doing what you're doing?
Okay, yeah, so I've always been into sport. I've always been into when I was younger, I played a lot of football, and particularly any sport I could get into because I was very active. Mm-hmm. I had an injury on my left knee and that sort of took me out from playing football. So I ended up getting into golf for a friend, and I just got addicted very, very quickly and loved playing golf, loved being in and around it. I love sport anyway, mm-hmm. So I was being as active as possibly could be. And I used to play 2, 3, 4 times a day if I could, obviously if that was at weekends. And then pretty much as soon as I left school, I tried college. Didn't last very long. I lasted about a week. It wasn't for me. And I was already working at a golf club at the time over in Essex.
Okay.
Just working in the kitchen, doing a bit of washing up as part of getting my membership for the golf club for free.
Mm-hmm.
And with it, just playing, as I say, playing as much golf as I possibly could. I got my handicap down. So for those that you have a handicap within golf, and I got my handicap down as low as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up, you know, I thought, I want to make a career of this. I want to do something with it. And yeah. My goal at the time was to be, to be the best I possibly can and make it up there with the stars like Tiger Woods.
Wow.
So that's where it kind of started for me. That's from there, things kind of evolved, and I turned professional too early. I turned off of a handicap of +1, which was way too early. I was very sort of naive and jumped the gun, so to speak. And I got a big wake up call when I was playing professionally to realise I wasn't as good as I needed to be to contend with the top guys out there.
So as a I have to admit, I'm a non-golfer.
Yep.
A +1 handicap. Yeah, obviously, so with a golf course, you have a set number of shots per hole.
That's it,
and
yeah.
So if you're on par, It means that basically you've done...
You're going around to the course.
Right.
The course part.
So plus one is...
Is one better than zero?
Okay.
So it seems to be...
Is that good or bad?
Well, it depends what side you're looking at it from.
So for
an average golfer that plays at a golf course, they're off a handicap of around 19, 20.
Okay.
So to get down to scratch, to get down to, a 10 handicap is a very good standard.
So plus one's very good.
Plus one's very good until you get into the world of the other golfers that are doing it for a living.
So someone like, I don't know, Tiger Woods, as an example.
Tiger Woods, or any guys at the top of the tree, Rory McIlroy, they're probably looking at a plus seven, plus eight, where they are currently right now, if not higher. And depending on the standard of the courses they're playing, but considerably better.
Okay.
So it's a big wake-up call to try and do it as a living.
Yeah.
I thought I had some health issues with that because I was getting myself, I was very depressed.
Okay.
And it actually led to me quitting golf for a short period of time and wanting to completely change career and do something else. Because of the playing side, but my heart was still in sport. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Mm.
Cut a long story short, I knew I wanted to, similar as we were speaking before the show, really, how much you want to help people. I'm very much in the same boat there, and realise I've got a lot more to offer in my professional side and the understandings I've got of the game.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing my PGA foundation degree. Which is recognised all over the world. It's a 3-year long distance course, which set me up and gave me such great knowledge in a variety of areas, which led me to go into more coaching, mm-hmm. Which I've been doing for the last I've been doing that for about 10 years now.
Okay,
and then in more recent times, in the last 3 years, I got into club management. My sort of passions and goals have changed slightly now having a young family and realizing I'm probably not at the standard I need to be to play.
Yeah.
But I really want to sort of look to help people. I could do that with coaching, working one-to-one or in groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing that, seeing people develop and improve, whether it's knowledge on their golf game or their mindset or their course management. And also look to do that with the golf club I manage, to looking to make it as good as we possibly can be throughout, really, and get more people involved in golf. So that's kind of where I've been playing a lot. I understand quite a lot about the playing side. I quite understand a lot about the coaching side, although, like anything, you never ever stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
I learn more and more all the time. I thought it was going to be something I'd do a PGA degree and I know it, that's it, done. But no, you continue to learn. Every single day, whether it's about golf or it's about people or other things.
So what was it about golf in particular that attracted you, as opposed to any other sport, say football, for example?
So the thing with football is it's played over generally a short period of time, because if it's 60 minutes or 90 minutes, depending on what age bracket and what you're playing. And as well, it's the length of the career that you've got. So I find with golf, it offers a lot more than people realise. I mean, all sports do, but certainly golf does.
Mm.
It teaches you a lot of things, like rules and etiquette, respect is a big thing. I know there's a lot changing now with the way we move into 21st century, what people wear,
mm-hmm.
What people wear, what we dress, what people do. So, but it's respecting one another. And golf is a massive one for that.
Mm.
And it's just the thing with golf, I think, like with any sport, if you can hit a shot or do something that you stand back and go, wow, that was fantastic.
Hmm.
It makes you want to come back.
Yeah.
And as I say, I love being active. I love sport. So golf ticks a lot of boxes for me.
And I think the perception of golf has changed a lot over the years.
Oh, absolutely.
You kind of have this perception that, you know, it's, the older guy, the retired man wearing his Pringle jumper with his yellow trousers on, you know, kind of the Ronnie Corbett, Jimmy Tarbuck kind of image. But certainly over the last 10 years or so, I think a lot more women have got into playing golf.
Absolutely. I mean, it's open there for everybody.
Mm.
And that's the big thing that what's something what I'm trying to do now, As I say, managing Red Libits is fantastic. We're under a new company, and we're really taking it into a new direction, in which we want to get more people into golf.
Yep.
We want to see more people play. It doesn't matter about their background. It doesn't matter about their age. It doesn't matter about their gender. It doesn't matter about their color of skin, mm-hmm. or in terms really what they wear. You know, it's about the level of respect that they show other people around them in the facility they're in.
Yeah.
And you can be all standards of a golfer to play, you know, to get the level of enjoyment out of it. And that's what it's all about. So we try and encourage people to come and enjoy the sport of all levels. And we put on coaching. That's where coaching is really good. So we can do group coaching for beginners. So like yourself, Neil, if you're looking to get into a little bit of golf.
I must admit, I am tempted.
Yeah, you don't need to go and spend 6 hours on the golf course wearing long socks and, you know, all of that. You can actually just come along and have a golf lesson
yeah.
for an hour. The guys will take you out onto the golf course or onto the range or onto the practice facilities. And they do this. This isn't just our golf course. This is every golf course. And this is what a lot of golf clubs and professionals and people involved in the sport are doing. And there's a lot of proactive people out there now. And it's making it more accommodating so people can turn up and realise, see what the sport's about. And if they like it, get into it, great. And enjoy it, get out in the fresh air, have a nice walk. There's a lot of things there that tie in with health.
Oh, definitely.
4.5 hour walk if you're going out there for a full round of golf. You know, you're walking the best part of 5 miles, 5.5 miles. You're out in the fresh air, got the trees around you, the beautiful surroundings. And then you mix in the golf as well with it. So if you... If you're a keen golfer, you're obviously constantly trying to do better, improve as well. But just the walk alone can be great, and socialising with other people.
Yeah. So for a complete newbie who perhaps feels a little bit intimidated going for the first time, what would you suggest? Would you suggest some time on the range?
Yeah, it's certainly speaking to the people. Well, yeah,
certainly
speaking to the people at the club you're going to, and finding out what they can do to help you, really, because there's a lot of people in the same boat, and how you can get into it doesn't necessarily mean you've got to go out there and you want to get to do what I've done, for instance, play as a professional and get to that real standard and stand on the range for 8 hours hitting golf balls. You might just want to go and enjoy it and have a bit of fun. And lots of golf clubs now will put on groups, as I say, certainly we do, where we've part of what we do is we have group sessions that go on, and some of them cost money and some of them don't. We put them on completely free of charge to get people interested in the game.
Yeah.
You'd come along, you could bring some friends with you, or you could meet people in the same position as yourself, just getting into the sport and start from keep it very fun and interactive, as opposed to putting you under a lot of pressure.
And I think that's the thing. I think knowing what you want to get out of it before you even start. You know, if you want to take it further, you want to get a little bit competitive with people, then obviously, you know, that would be your goal. But for a lot of people, it's just a way to relax, isn't it, and de-stress. And you don't want to take part in an activity that's going to put you under more pressure.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the beauty I find with golf is that, obviously, I've done it as earlier on, I've done it as a competitive sport where I wanted to be the best and I wanted to beat everyone. And you want to get to the best level you can possibly be.
Yeah.
And that's great. And that's always good to have in your mind anyway. Whereas now I do it more for a socializing aspect. So it's great for if I'm meeting new people, getting out with friends, and socializing that way. It's a great kind of stress relief to step out of the office and walk around the golf course. But it's also a great way for businesses to network with each other. And bring clients down, and so there's a whole bunch of things there that can sort of cross pollinate as such.
And are you finding that the average age of golfers is coming down? You're getting much younger people
starting to. It's about the whole industry making it more welcoming.
I think
once people now that they are seeing it's more welcoming
because
to everybody.
It has kind of had a perception for a long time, albeit incorrectly, but a perception it is an older person sport.
Yeah.
And there's also a perception that if you really get into it, it can be quite expensive as well.
Yeah, I think like with anything, any type of sport can get quite expensive. Once you want to do it to a certain level, the more you want, for golf, for instance, you want better clubs. Yep. You want more lessons. Then that can get expensive. But generally, it can be quite. It's very affordable or quite cheap to get into.
So if you wanted to use it as just a, you know, a once or twice a week stress relieving hobby, you could do that without actually having to really, really get into it. There's no pressure to start. No,
absolutely. It's all dependent on yourself and what it is you're looking to get out of it. And then going back to the rules and whatnot, it's a lot more open now, and it has to be. The 21st century is in stage. There was a time where golf clubs wouldn't allow mobile phones. They wouldn't allow...
Really?
Some golf clubs wouldn't allow ladies in. Yeah. Certain clothing to be worn. And that's still around now because of the way that the clubs are... Some clubs are run and they're entitled to do that.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of clubs out there that realise actually they need to move forward with the times.
So there's a new breed of club coming through.
There is, yeah. To get
a bit more sort of modern and a bit more
To realise we you know, things are changing very, very quickly, and we want to try and keep up to speed with that and evolve with the times and not sort of look back over too far and go back because unfortunately it's changing very quickly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the physical benefits to doing golf are, you know, they're pretty obvious, you know. Mobility wise, lots of walking, as you mentioned. Yep. But what's often overlooked by people is the mental benefits to doing it as well. So things like stress relief, and obviously potentially helping to combat mental health issues as well.
Mm.
It's a social activity, so you've got that social interaction. Yeah. So it's much more, isn't it, than just walking 5 miles. There's a lot of mental benefits to doing it.
There's so much more to it than just walking. Even if for those that are physically limited and need the use of a buggy or trolleys to get around the course,
yeah,
it can still be great because of that mental side.
Yeah.
I mean, just working out when you hit a golf ball, it's not a ton of pressure on your body, but there is still things there that are great for the body to do. But mental side, certainly socialising is great because you're going to meet other people and get out with other people and talk, which is, as we know with today, we're in a lot of mental health issues that are out there, and getting out playing golf in the fresh air and socialising with other people can be a great way for that. But as I say, I certainly notice it myself when I went through some major stress issues and depression, and I thought I was having heart issues when I was trying to put too much pressure on myself. And it's since then, obviously, I found out ways to overcome that, which has been a great thing for me. But now I can help other people do that, because when you're in the golf course, it should be a fun exercise.
That's great. So tell me a bit more about the club. What facilities does the club offer?
So we've got an 18-hole golf course that's it's been there for 25 years.
Yeah.
As I say, we're under new management now, so there's a slight change in direction. The we've had the whole facility made a lot of improvements over the winter period to the clubhouse and also the golf course. So we've got a few new guys out on the golf course, getting the course into a slight different shape than it has been in the past. And making it appealing then to every level of golfer. We've got a great clubhouse, but it's not just a clubhouse, it's a venue or a destination for people to come and enjoy for food and drink on a daily basis and socialise, where we've got a wedding licence now. We've got a fantastic decking balcony that overlooks the course, and we've got some great views over the lake. And we've also got a swing studio where we can do lessons indoors for people on simulators if they don't want to go outside, if the weather's bad.
Yep.
We've also got a practice range and also short game area in putting green,
yep,
which is where we sort of put on a lot of lessons, or where people can come down and use and practice.
So you haven't got mini golf?
We haven't got mini golf. No. We can set it up though.
I love mini golf. It's great.
We can set it up, and that's what we look to do within lessons, to get people, that's what encourage people to play and make
just
it fun.
Just to get that interaction going.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. I'm sure you've had lots and lots of different successes with different clients, but one particular comes to mind was the young junior who had the brain tumour. Perhaps you can tell us a bit more about that.
So this is probably one of the biggest, well, I suppose one of the biggest things within golf to have happened to me, because I never expected it. I was working at a driving range, and when I first started playing professionally, and the golf coach that was there at the time sort of said, would you do junior group lessons? So I did. I took on a group, which was great. I had six, seven juniors at the time, and I had one that was his parents came to me and said, look, he can't do physical sports because he's had a brain tumour. And it was quite a moving thing. And I thought, okay, well, I need to be very careful here, mindful of what I do and how I do it.
Yeah.
The other kids in the group, we have set things that we do within the lessons, but the other kids within the group sort of picked things up very quickly. Mm-hmm. One in particular was just incredible. And I thought, you know, being sort of young, naive, I just thought, you know, this unfortunately, the young lad, if he enjoys it, great. You know, but he's got physical limitations. He can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he enjoys it, fantastic. However, the young lad seemed to take it on board really quickly, and he wanted to practice. He was coming up to the range 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Right.
He took on more lessons. Over the period of a year, he improved a lot. Not incredibly noticeable, but he improved a lot from what I could see.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the trainer I could see. And because of how much he loved golf, and because of how much he sort of the hard work and dedication he put in, it started to open my mind and see that actually this young lad's getting better, even though I think, you know, apparently people are born with a talent like Tiger Woods. There's no hard work that you're just born and okay. You picks it up and does it.
Yeah.
I've read quite a few books on that and how, mm-hmm. Now that's not true, and mm-hmm. and this was a prime example of that. Cut a long story short, the young lad continued to work on his game. The other people within the group didn't want to take it on any further, which, you know, they just done it for a bit of fun. And 10 years later, which was about a year ago now, the young lad's playing off a handicap of 4 and playing for the county.
Wow.
So to have someone, you know, for what his parents originally started him out to, just to get him out and socialise with other kids, just as something extra to do, turned into a real big passion for him, where he worked hard, dedicated his time, and where a lot of people looked at him and didn't think he could do much. Mm. And actually, he's done incredible. And it really sort of touched me, because I realised the impact that I can have on others. And you know, hard work, dedication, and somebody like that getting into the game, it really, yeah. really was that special moment for me for that to look back and see that, which I only done when the parents came to me and sort of said that about how well he was doing. But to obviously over 10 years, that's a long time, but fantastic to look back on.
Yeah, very, 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 very powerful.
Mm.
So what are your plans for the rest of 2019, Dave?
So the rest of 2019, my main role now is managing the golf club and getting it into the best possible condition we can throughout, on the golf course side for people playing it and for our members, and for people visiting, mm-hmm. and also for our clubhouse. So we're really pushing that to encourage more people to come and use it.
Okay.
And we're looking to link up with local communities,
mm-hmm.
Local people, not non-golf related as well.
Yep.
So obviously golf's key to us. Golf's really important. Everybody involved in it has got a golfing background. We want that to be a big thing. However, we also want people to come and socialise. And my big thing really is to ensure that to Red Limits Golf and Country Club is as successful as it can be,
mm-hmm.
and really gets out and people get to know it and come and use the facility as much as they can do.
And would you open it up to businesses?
It's completely open.
To use the clubhouse for their events?
We do that already.
Networking events?
We do that already, yeah. Mm. And as I say, getting that known to more people.
Yep.
We're not just a golf club that you've got to wear a suit through the front door. You
mm-hmm.
can't, it's very we're much more opening and open and respectful, and as much as we have membership, it's open to anybody who wants to come through the door. Really, as I said earlier,
mm-hmm.
respecting the facility and respecting the people around you. That's pretty much it.
Brilliant. So if listeners want to get in contact with you, if there's businesses out there perhaps want to get in contact with you, Dave, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Yeah, the best way to get hold of me is through Red Libbits is a great way. If you go to www.redlibbits.com, you'll be able to get all of the phone numbers through there. But I'm also on Facebook under David Harris, and also Red Libbits Golf and Country Club. And I'm also on Instagram under David Harris PGA. And I also just recently got into LinkedIn under David Harris. So there's quite a few ways there. I try and keep up to date with them.
And what I'll do as well is, as part of the post-promotion of this show, I'll put the contact details, your contact details, as part of the post-promo that I'll do as well. So people can contact you through
Brilliant.
There.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, David. It's been really, really great to have you on the show. It's been an eye-opener for me, and you might have tempted me to maybe spend a bit of time on the driving range at this point, I would hasten to add.
Well, thanks very much for having me on, Neil.
Yeah, it's been great. Brilliant. Thank you, Dave. So after the break, we are going to have a quick chat about plant protein. But to take us into the break, we have a song by Queen.
Gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'm turning inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy. So don't stop.
That was Queen and Don't Stop Me Now. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show on Monday, the 1st of April 2019, with me, Neil De Silva. So, just going on to plant protein for a moment. Now, obviously, when we talk about protein, people predominantly think that protein comes from animal-based sources or fish-based sauces. And that's obviously true. There's a lot of protein in meat, there's a lot of protein in dairy, and there is a lot of protein in fish. However, you can also get protein from other non-meat-based sources as well. And what I'm going to do very quickly for the next few minutes is just run through a few of the real heavy hitters in the world of plant protein. And one of the biggest ones that we'll start with is edamame. So edamame is a bean, and actually you can get per 75 gram serving, you can get 18 grams of protein from edamame beans. But the key is to actually pick organic ones, okay? Because a lot of beans are produced, are genetically modified, and they can be heavily treated with pesticides, and it also applies to tofu as well. And tofu is number two on the list. But you've got to make sure it's organic, okay? Because, and it actually states that it's non-GMO, because it's estimated that around 95% of these beans grown around the world are genetically modified, and there's no long-term studies into the damage that GMO foods can do to us. So edamame is number one. Tofu is number two. Number three is lentils. Now, lentils provide 9 grams of protein per 75 gram serving. They're also low in calorie. They're high in fiber as well. And you can make lots of things with lentils. So you can make a hummus-like dip. You can make veggie burgers. You can use them as a side dish. And one of the other benefits to lentils is that they've also been shown to lower cholesterol and to also reduce the risk of heart disease. Black beans are number four on the list, so 7.6 grams per 75 gram serving. Lima beans are also really, really good. Peanuts and peanut butter per 2 tablespoons can provide you with 7 grams of protein, so quite powerful. Chickpeas, well, lots of people like hummus, and actually chickpeas are really, really good for you. Not only do they provide you with 6 grams of protein per 75 gram serving, but they also have a lot of fiber in them as well. Coming on to nuts, almonds are the kind of the king of nuts, with 6 grams of protein per 37 gram serving. Got to be careful with nuts because they are high in calories, but they are very healthy, and they're high in good fats. And we've already mentioned fats earlier on the show. So almonds have also got vitamin E on them, which is good for your skin and your hair. And they've also got magnesium. And magnesium is really good for helping with things like PMS symptoms, boosting bone health, helping you to curb sugar cravings, and also helping with muscle aches and pains as well. Chia seeds are great. Again, 6 grams per 2 tablespoon. And they're also one of the best sources of non-fish omega-3 fatty acids as well. So chia seeds are really, really powerful. Steel-cut oatmeal is good. Now, steel-cut oatmeal is much better for you than rolled oats, because not only are they a better source of protein, but also they are lower on the glycemic index. Cashews come in at number, I don't know where we are now, number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but around 5 grams of protein per 37 grams. And they're also rich, cashews are rich in magnesium and vitamin K. Pumpkin seeds are powerful as well. Again, really high in magnesium as well as protein, and also quite high in plant-based omega-3s and zinc as well. Spinach, when you come onto vegetables, spinach and broccoli are quite good. So about 3 grams per 75 grams, not very high, but quite high for a vegetable. And the secret of spinach is to cook it properly, because that helps to increase the protein intake. And Brussels sprouts are quite good as well. And the final one is avocados. Avocados, around 2 grams of protein per half avocado, but also full of really healthy fats as well. So that's enough for today. I'd like to thank Dave for coming on the show. Thanks again, Dave.
Thank you.
And on next week's show, we have James Dand coming on the show on the 8th of April. A quick reminder, if you'd like to get in touch with the show, on social media, at Health Radio Show on Twitter, the Health Matters Radio Show on Facebook, and you can listen again to this show and previous shows on the show's iTunes podcast and on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to get in touch with me in the meantime, between now and the next show, please do so via social media or via my website. But until next time, until the same time next Monday, I'd like to wish you a happy and healthy week, and I will catch you again next Monday.
eyes are blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck.